This is Phil Ferrand. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It is episode 378, I think. I'm going to turn on the air conditioner because we are in summer now, which is about right. It's, it's end of June-ish. Next week is the last week of June, so that's pretty close for summer. It's not like hot yet, because it's only 91 degrees. And we'll be crowding 100 by the time it's all said and done. It's warm enough. So, I already know some people who are groaning about the heat at this point, but 91's not too bad. Having grown up in the tropics, I kind of like the heat, you know? I like the way it feels on my face. I like the way it feels in my lungs. It's good. I like it. It's much better to me than being cold. So, not that I'm not grateful for air conditioning, because that I am. Air conditioning, wow. What a blessing. So it's been a good week. Made some progress on lots of little projects that we're working on at my major client. We're still heading into this really big decision, and you know, we got a lot of things to consider, and we're considering them. And I'm working on other projects simultaneously. So, you know, it's been good. It's been good. It's been a good week. There's always challenges, and there's always lots of decisions to be made, but we're doing okay. We're doing just fine. We had some guests in last week, I think I might have mentioned, that the wife, had come in for a graduation ceremony, and so got home on Thursday and was able to see them. And now that I'm thinking about it, I'm trying to remember if I actually uploaded the podcast last week. Because I got home and immediately started working on this, that, and the other and getting ready for supper. I should say assisting my wife for the supper we had at the house. And I'm just not sure. I will have to go check. I suppose I could check on my phone, since we have that marvelous thing called the internet, to see if I actually did upload the podcast last week. Podcast. See, I have a shortcut for it. So, and 376. I didn't upload the podcast last week. Okay. So, I will upload to tonight. I just happened to think of that now. Anyways, so it was good. Friends stayed with us Thursday night, Friday night. We got caught up in a bunch of stuff. Had some fun. Then Friday night was the actual graduation. Oh, I had one of those unbelievable things happen it was a help from Jesus, because it would have been bad. So we get to the graduation. It's already started, so we're kind of waiting for a time to slip in and maybe find a seat. I see one of my beta readers there. I'm chatting him up a little bit as it's, you know, things are weird looking. And so we sat outside for a little while, and then after we had sat outside for a little while, I'm waiting for somebody to pull out. There we go. Then we snuck in, and then they seated us, and I go through, you know, the whole graduation ceremony. It's very interesting because it's Global University, which sounds international because it is. They had 800 and some graduates on a variety of different programs, but a lot of people from South America and Africa and, you know, just all over. They weren't all there. There was only 50 or so who were there, I think, I can't remember how many, but it was very interesting. It was just very, very interesting. So it finishes up. We're chit-chatting here and there, and one of the people who are assisting with it, young woman came up and said, are you missing your keys? And suddenly I said, I may be, I don't know. And she said, well, we found some keys and they had a Praise Assembly tag on them. And she said, I'm wondering if they were yours. I don't know how this woman knows me from wherever. But apparently she does. Maybe it's somebody I'm supposed to recognize. I meet enough people that sometimes I forget. But so she said, well, first of all, are you missing your keys? And I realized I don't have my keys with me. And at that moment, I'm trying to think, did I bring keys? Yes, I brought keys. I must have brought keys. So I said, yeah, I think I am missing my keys. And so she leads me through the big crowd as it's letting out and we're going, and she brings me to the person and they hold them out. And sure enough, they're my keys. Oy, that could have been bad. I've just been so grateful ever since. It's like, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, kind-hearted people. Thank you. Anyway, so the graduation was fun. It was fun to be able to see that. And then next morning, our friends got up and they needed to leave like by noon. And so we got up, and then our friends, the spouse, the wife, her sister came over for a visit. And so we visited for a while, and that was fun. We thought maybe we were going to have an extra like 6 or 8 people for breakfast for a few moments. But that's okay. You know, we can make these things work. We'll just haul more stuff out of the refrigerator. But then when they got there, they had already eaten breakfast. So it's like, hey, okay. So we don't have to do that. So that all worked out fine. But we had a really nice visit with them as well. And then they took off. And then we had a breakfast real quick. And then our friends took off. And then we got some quick work done. And then we turned around and actually had the Father's Day dinner at our house at around 3:30-ish, sometime in there. I had a real nice time having a Father's Day dinner with the whole gang, with the family. And so that was all good. It was all good. My son-in-law and daughter got me a bumper sticker for Father's Day that said, Giant Meteor 2016 just ended already. The problem is some people look at it and they don't get it, so I really need to make a little sign that goes over the top of it that says, Vote for Giant Meteor 2016 just ended already. I'll probably do that this weekend. I taped it to my car because I normally don't put bumper stickers on my cars, and so, but I just put a little scotch tape on it, taped it to my car. They also got me a great t-shirt that I had mentioned to my daughter several weeks ago. She's really good about listening when I say, oh, I saw this funny thing, that, you know, next time up it's not that I can count on it showing up because I forget and then she remembers, but it's based on the fact that WWF is the acronym for World Wildlife Fund and World Wrestling Federation. So the panda is one of the logo animals for the World Wildlife Fund. So it has WWF and then it has a panda in the same pose as the World Wildlife Fund pose, but then it has another panda behind that panda with a folding chair getting ready to whack the other panda over the back. So yeah, fun t-shirt. Anyway, so that was Father's Day. It was good. We had a nice time. It was fun. And then, had a nice chat with a buddy on Sunday when he was working on a car. He had to work on the car, and I normally every couple of weeks go for a walk with him, and so I just went over and we chatted while he worked on the car. So that was good. And then, did I have any other chats this week with buddies? I can't remember. I think that was it. I was supposed to get together with a friend this morning, but he's in California, so we're moving into next week. So it's good. Life is good. The writing projects are going fine. I'm in the process of the read-through for book 4. I hope to finish that up this weekend. Then once I get that finished up, I start building the final PDF files to upload for the print versions, and then building the version for the Kindle, and building the version for EPUB. Once I get that all built and get all those released, then we go from there. And once I get that all done, then I turn around and start the read-through on book 5 to get writing that again. And book 5 still hasn't... I've had a month to kind of think about it now, and all the pieces really haven't shaken out yet. So we'll just see. That's always a little exciting, because I'm always happier once the pieces all shake out, but so far they've always shaken out. But
until they shake out,
until they get shaken out, it's a little, you know, okay, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? But it'll work out. It'll be fine. So then once I get book 4 done, you know, I need to order the copies that I'm going to give away and get those all ordered up, and eventually I'll have to distribute those, but that probably won't happen until, I don't know, second week of July or something like that. So, but about ready to wrap that one up and get back to book 5 and try to figure out how in the world we're going to finish book 5. And then it goes to beta, and we start on book 6. So that's all going to happen this year, theoretically, because book 5 is supposed to go to beta October 1st. So by the end of this year, I should be about 2 months into book 6. So it's all very exciting and enjoyable. There is so much space when you have this many books. There's just so much space to tell this story. It's just marvelous. Anyways, so this week, short article, but it's kind of a follow-on to what I had talked about a couple of weeks ago. Pretty simple follow-on, but I came across an article, and I thought, well, at least we have something to call it now. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about how fascinating it was to me to see people just getting so excited about the fact that there are some basic building blocks for life on an asteroid, and then extrapolating from there on this may be how life got started. And I was also talking in one podcast about the Drake equation and all of the assumptions that went into the numbers that were assigned to the Drake equation to get us to the conclusion that at any given time there's probably 50,000 alien intelligences that are trying to communicate. And then compared that, all the assumptions that are made there are basically the same assumptions that are made to support the fact that we may be living in a virtual universe, in fact, and how that those two things in a way are philosophically diametrically opposed, because the people who are running the Drake equation typically are atheistic humanists who really believe that life just got here by accident, that there was no planning, which is diametrically opposed to the people who believe we're living in a virtual world. Because if we're living in a virtual world, it was all by design, and it is being run on computers or some type of a processor that was designed and built. And it's just fascinating to me that we can use the same reasoning that there's billions and billions of something, therefore it's likely that something else is happening. Well, in conjunction with that, I came across this article, and in this article, Daniel Jackson talks about the fact that the title of the article is "Atheists Are Embracing Gods and Creationism." And he talks about the fact that this is happening with some chagrin. He talks about the fact that Elon Musk, who I think I quoted from, says that the chances that we exist in a base reality, his term for it, base reality, in other words, we're not simulated, are billions to one. So he said last week he told an audience of Silicon Valley tech evangelists, quote, 40 years ago we had Pong, like two rectangles and a dot. That's where the games were. Quote, now 40 years later, we have photorealistic 3D simulations with millions of people playing simultaneously, and it's getting better every year. Soon, we'll have virtual reality, augmented reality. Quote, if you assume any rate of improvement at all, then the games will become indistinguishable from reality, even if that rate of advancement drops by 1,000 from what it is now. Then you just say, okay, let's imagine it's 10,000 years in the future, which is nothing on the evolutionary scale. So he's making the argument that with the speed of progress, it certainly seems possible that you would end up with a post-human age where humans have transferred ourselves into computers, or humans or their successors would be running simulations for different purposes. And the likelihood is that they would be running many, many, many more times simulations, kinds of simulations than ever existed in the quote-unquote real world or quote base reality, unquote. So on the basis of that then, you can suspect that in fact we may be living in one of those virtual universes. On the basis of that, you might be able to conclude that I am the reason that this entire simulation is running. And all the other people around me are simulations that exist only to interact with me, just to see how my glorious brain works. So that's one conclusion you could come to. Now, the writer of this article is not really hip with that idea. He says, this kind of discussion suggests that if we aren't living in a civilization will end before we are able to reach this post-human age. The detail in the terminology isn't important. The idea is bunkum. Okay. In other words, he doesn't like this idea at all. The sort of thing that's fun to think about, on Philosibian, whatever, something, Philosibin, but not much else. So he completely poo-pooed this idea, which I'm not sure is, you know, from a sci-fi imaginative standpoint, it certainly qualifies as something that seems doable. Which we've seen enough sci-fi come to pass that, you know, I'm a little hesitant to say, no, that's never going to happen, because the people that end up saying, I'm getting my mail, one moment, people that end up saying, no, that's never going to happen, you know, sometimes, sometimes they get proven spectacularly wrong, and then they get quoted a lot. I'm not really that afraid that I'm going to be quoted a lot, because I live the life of a quiet person. But nonetheless, looking back, I would like to not be so dogmatic that I didn't allow for the possibility of something that I found to be improbable. So, There you go. Anyways, but obviously the writer of this article is not convinced that this idea even has worth. But what is interesting, I'm backing into my garage. What is interesting to the writer of this article is this philosophical opposition that I talked about a couple of weeks ago, that the people who use billions and billions to get to the point where there has to be other life out there in the universe are the same people that use billions of billions to get to a universe that is designed and contrived. And to that end, the author of this article says, what's interesting is the way in which atheists are embracing the idea, or at least the possibility, of creationism. If we are living in a simulation, someone or something had to create it. True believers regard Bostrom's trilemma. I didn't go through that. Oh, never mind. True believers, these atheist believers, regard these types of things with the same reverence as 13th century seminarians treated Thomas Aquinas's five proofs. Okay, so he goes on. He said, it is a tired argument. He said, but atheists are increasingly behaving like members of a religious sect. Yes, they are. So there is fractionalism and infighting amongst them. They have icons, Spinoza, Darwin, Dawkins, and something close to a martyr in Christopher Hitchens. And now they can choose to believe in a creator. You know, I've been talking about the three waves of science. You know, in the first wave, how that God seems pretty close because we can make, you know, clay models of animals. They just can't move. We just need to make them move. And then the second wave is we begin to discover the complexity, and then God has to be far away because we feel intimidated. But then we get to the place where there's just so much beautiful harmony and balance and design that we have to come up with an explanation. And one of the explanations is the multiverse. But another explanation is that we live in a virtual environment, and that's why everything's so balanced. And it's interesting to me that people will just set aside the idea of a creator creating a base reality, and it's more comfortable for them to believe that there was some kind of programmer who set up a virtual reality, because we feel more kinship with that virtual programmer than we would feel with a God who is actually capable of setting up the base reality that we're in. So it's all very interesting. Anyways, he goes on to talk about how atheists are increasingly behaving like members of a religious sect. He said one prominent academic who had a public debate with one of the four horsemen, the Spinoza, Dawkins, I think that's who the four horsemen are. There are four big atheists. Tells me that enthusiastic supporters were bussed into the event. They were told when to applaud and what questions to ask. He says, this sort of monastic discipline is rarely seen outside the context of organized religions. He said, atheists don't believe in a God, but they do believe we are gods and have the potential to be. He quotes an author's are saying, he has a book and he quotes a saying as saying, what made us sapiens will make us gods. And this really is the critical point, I think, underneath it all with atheists, is they really don't want some higher power to be out there because they want to be the higher power. Anyways, going on. What was fascinating to me about this whole article was really the last paragraph, and this is the paragraph. If atheists are embracing gods and creationism, the transformation from movement to religion is complete. And I would argue that that's happening because there has to be some explanation for what they see in the world. But he says, but since the word atheism literally means without God, a neologism is required. In other words, we need a new name. You can't call it atheism if, in fact, you're behaving like you're part of a religion, and in fact, you are espousing things which create a creator. In other words, a virtual environment. You know, you can't really be an atheist and believe that you live in a virtual environment because there is a creator. So we got to find a new term for it. And this is what I loved. The author of the article says, so agnostic doesn't quite fit. Neither does Unitarian. Said Toby Young suggests creatheist. Creatheist. I kind of like that. I don't believe it, but I kind of like it. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home.